Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. I was recently thinking back, amazed how swift the year had passed. I was reflecting on a conversation that I had with a long-distance friend of mine concerning resolutions for this present year. He stated, that his resolution, was to release himself from the destructive dead weight that continues to stagnate his progress. Oftentimes, these destructive weights that stagnate our personal and spiritual growth, they're often synonymous with thorns. And the longer your thorns are present in our flesh, the greater the possibility for major infections. Only such organic compounds like peroxide and alcohol can help to avoid major infections, scar tissue on the soul. For the believer, when thorns are present, when they penetrate the surface and get lodged into the midst of our souls, your organic compounds will not get the job done. Your only God's soul medicating word can provide the antidote for a cure. The description of a bottle of God's medicating remedy, it reads as follows. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and the bone and the marrow, and is an intent of the heart. And it says, all scripture is God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, that the man, woman of God, might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And he closes with, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So yes, this soul-saving medication, known as the Word of God, it's designed, for reproof, that's sterilizing, and correction, return to its status of health. And because of this, let us accept as a title of our message this evening, The Thorns of Life. Once again, the title of our message this evening is The Thorns of Life. Our scripture this evening will be coming from 2 Corinthians 12th chapter, verses 2 through 10, and it reads, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether in the spirit I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that which he heareth of me, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. There was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Now, first of all, y'all, what is a thorn? The American Heritage Dictionary, it states, that a thorn, is a modified branch in the form, of a sharp, woody spine. It can cause sharp pain, irritation, or discomfort. Have any of us, ever been stuck by a thorn? I can personally recall being stuck by a thorn many times. a couple of my most memorable occasions, y'all, it occurred with y'all when I was much younger. I remember once, y'all, as a young boy, approximately 12, 13 years old, as a little city boy, y'all, mama, y'all, she would bring us younger kids up to the country. And we'd stay with our grandparents, y'all, for about a month and a half during the summer break. Now, y'all, that was the longest summer I can remember to date. Although, y'all, we were from out of town. Y'all, nobody was exempt, y'all, from taking part in the expected daily chores. But, y'all, those chores, y'all, man, they weren't like the chores we had down there in the crib in Miami. Y'all, these chores, y'all, they were cotton field activities. I didn't know, y'all, what part of that experience was the greatest challenge. Or may I say the greatest thorn. I'm talking about, y'all, the long hours in the cotton field, waiting for lunch. Now, even long hours, y'all, waiting for dinner. Or the 100-degree sun. Or, y'all, the desire for a cold glass of water from grandmama's well. Or, y'all, the literal thorns that prick my fingers when I attempted to pick the cotton. I remember, y'all, another occasion. I was in, y'all, Houston, Texas at this time at the college campus. I met, y'all, what I thought would be the future Mrs. Womack. So much so, I tried my hand at poetry. Remember, y'all, back in the day, way back then, y'all, all of the poetry, y'all, it began, y'all, the romantic ones with roses of red and violets of blue. And certainly, y'all, I add a few extra words to it. But, y'all, during that time, I knew that I wanted to put something extra with it to really bring out, y'all, the sincerity of what the memo was trying to say. So, y'all, when I was walking the next day, it was kind of like psycho-cybernetics. With what I was thinking about all of a sudden pops in my conscience. And suddenly I was walking, y'all, and I saw a rose bush I had never seen before. And it was right in front of the main administration building. And I said, oh, no, I've got to get one of those roses. But of course, y'all, I couldn't do that in broad daylight. So I came later that evening, y'all, when everything was quiet. Yeah, I was still a little mischievous, and I was standing on the concept of love. So I waited, y'all, but, you know, I rushed in, but I learned a very good lesson. I learned, y'all, that, you know, rose bushes, y'all, they got thorns, too. But, y'all, to make a long story short, yeah, I didn't get the rose. And I didn't, y'all, deliver the poem. Oh, yeah, also, y'all, I didn't get the girl. Oh, yeah, that hurt, man, that hurt. But over time, y'all, I have come, y'all, to learn and realize, y'all, that not only do people have thorns, y'all, they can be a thorn. Y'all, have any of us, y'all, ever said so-and-so is a thorn in my side? Y'all, why do we say that about people? Why do we say that, y'all, people are thorns in our sides? We say it because, y'all, because people, they irritate us. Y'all, these people, they may criticize us, talk about us. I mean, they may make life difficult for us. Even, y'all, try to disgrace us in some manner. In other words, y'all, they make our lives miserable, exasperating, infuriating, maddening, annoying, and we don't like it. Now, we all, y'all, have thorns in our lives. Y'all, many people have faced the thorns of life, and, y'all, they have turned those thorns into roses. Your thorns, y'all, they can be in the form of sickness, y'all, such as cancer, diabetes, heart problems. Y'all, we have thorns, y'all, that can, y'all, incapacitate us. Y'all, such as loss of a limb, mental or physical disabilities, and the like. Y'all, some thorns in life, y'all, they're easier to cope with than others. I mean, thorns, y'all, they can bring about positive or negative changes in our lives. Y'all, a thorn, y'all, it can be a habit, such as your excessive drinking, gambling, or illicit vices, even prescription drugs. You're the alcoholic. He leaves work and he spends his wages in a bar. You're he becomes a thorn in the side of the family. You're the next drink takes priority in that person's life. You're the person addicted to gambling. You're they believe you're that the next card hand, the next push on the slot machine will be the big one. so he or she your bets away all of the hard-earned wages. There is nothing left. And this person your becomes a thorn in the side of the family as well. You're the Apostle Paul, he said. He was given a thorn in the flesh. Now, we're not sure what the thorn was. Your scripture, it doesn't tell us your Paul's thorn. Some think, y'all, it was malaria, while others, y'all, they think it was your epilepsy. It was also been speculated that Paul's thorn, y'all, was an eye disease. Y'all, in Galatians 6:1, it might very well, y'all, back up the thought that Paul had an eye problem. Because, y'all, it says, see what large letters I have written to you with my own hands. Yo, Paul, he wrote the end of Galatians with his own hand. You see, he usually, y'all, dictated his letters, but he signed them, y'all, with his own handwriting. Now, in 2 Corinthians 12:1, Paul says, it is doubtless for me to boast. Yo, Paul, he's saying that, yo, he must go on boasting, although there is nothing to gain. He said, I will go on and tell you about the vision and revelation of the Lord. Yo, when the scripture is first read, yo, it sounds, yo, like Paul just wants to boast. Yo, he want to brag, show off. He want to toot his own horn. Yo, sometimes, yo, we all have a tendency to boast, yo, about something that we have or, yo, something that we've done. We might boast, y'all, about our work, how much money that we make, or how much money, y'all, we gave away to charity, how we deserve what we have. But in each of these examples, y'all, we're placing the focus on ourselves. Yo, Paul, he's boasting, but, y'all, the attention is not on him. Yo, the attention, y'all, of focus is on God. Yo, Paul, he did not, y'all, put himself on a pedestal. I mean, just to be sure of this, Paul, he said, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Yo, Paul, he did not want the thorn. And he prayed 3 times, yo, that God might take it away. But God did not take it away. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Yo, we all know that God is love. So why do he basically give us thorns? Yo, there is no question, yo, that God is love. And he has showered us, yo, with many wonderful blessings. I mean, yo, just us fellowshipping this beautiful evening, celebrating, yo, the omnipotent power of God. Yo, we take the inventory of our past. It would be, y'all, impossible to name all of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Some people, y'all, maybe who are listening in this evening, have thorns in their lives. Y'all, some people consider negative events in our lives as thorns. I recall, y'all, working as a manager for one of the social service organizations for the mental and physical disabled. Y'all, many of the parents, y'all, They were at times very hurt. They were upset and even discouraged. Y'all, these parents, y'all, they had 2 choices. I mean, y'all, they can look at it from the positive side, or they can look at it, y'all, at the negative. Y'all, there is, y'all, an evangelist by the name of David Rain. Now, I've heard of David, and I've heard him speak on a few occasions. Y'all, David, he is what you call a shining, your star and an example of an individual who is suffering from a human weakness, a thorn, if you will. But, you're with God's help, your David, he used that weakness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your David, he was born on October the 28th, 1953. David, your, he suffered from cerebral palsy. David, your, he said that, your, he could not speak clearly. Yo, he could not walk like other children. Yo, he could not use his hands and arms like everyone else. Yo, David, he became an orphan at the age of 14. Yo, nobody wanted him. So he went from family to family, never finding a home. David was in such pain, physical and mental, and he was continuously and consistently being ridiculed in public. For David to become discouraged was very easy. He was told that no one liked him, and that he would never amount to anything. People told him that he would never get married and have a family. Today, David, he is still married, to his wife of several decades, with three beautiful daughters and a very handsome son. All of this came about, because David, he found a personal relationship with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He showed David, how to accept his physical disadvantage and turn it into a blessing and a victory. David, he turned his thorn into a rose. During the prime of David's ministry, David, he taught over 100,000 people each year. He spoke at approximately 200 churches a year. David has been on the Christian talk shows all over the world. In verse 8, Paul said, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me." Paul, he had an issue, and he talked to the Father about it. Did God ignore Paul's request? God did not ignore Paul's request, but he chose not to respond with the answer that Paul was looking for. This very thing, has happened to each of us. The request is denied, but the petition is granted. Many times, we pray, for a specific want or need, and the request, it seems to go unanswered. We must remember, that God, he doesn't think like us. His thinking is on a far superior level, which, of course, is a benefit to all of us. God says that my ways are not as your ways. My thoughts are not as your thoughts. As high as the heavens are from the earth, that's how high my ways are from your ways and my thoughts from your thoughts. He always grants us more than we ask for, but he grants it, on a schedule, his schedule. The very fact, that we go to God in prayer, is an indication, that we are seeking God's will. The answer to Paul's request in verse 9, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." God is saying, that his sustaining influence will allow Paul, to continue preaching it and teaching the word. God is telling Paul, that the thorn, whatever it was, will not interfere with his ability and desire to continue in his ministry. David Ring's thorn, it did not prevent him, from working for the Lord. Because of God's grace, we too will be able to glorify God with talents offered us. Regardless of the thorn that we've been given, under God's grace, his undeserved favor, we will be able, to bear the pain of any thorn. There is no doubt, that God can remove any thorn from us. But sometimes, he chooses, to just give us the strength and the power to endure it. He says, "I may not remove the mountain, but I'll give you the strength to climb the mountain." Paul's weakness, or our weakness, it can become a place of God's glory. Our biggest weakness can become our greatest strength. This reminds me of a very applicable short story of a 10-year-old boy, who decided to study judo, despite the fact, that he only had one arm. He lost his left arm in a devastating car accident. The boy, he began lessons with an old Japanese judo coach. The boy was doing well. He couldn't understand, why after 3 months of training, the master, had taught him only one move. "Master," the boy finally said. Shouldn't I be learning more moves? I realize that this is the only move that you know, but it may very well be the only move that you'll need to know, the master replied. Not quite understanding, but believed in his teacher, the boy kept training. Several months later, the master took the boy to his first tournament. Surprising himself, the boy easily won his first two matches. The third match proved to be more difficult, but after some time, his opponent became impatient and charged in. The boy deftly used his one move to win the match. Still amazed by his success, the boy made the finals. This time, his opponent was much bigger, faster, stronger, and more experienced. For a while, the boy appeared to be overmatched. Concerned that the boy might get hurt, the referee called time out. He was about to stop the match when the master intervened. No, the master insisted. Let him continue. As soon as the match resumed, his opponent rushed in on him. Instantly, the boy, he used his one move to pin his opponent. The boy won the match and the tournament. He was now the champion. On the way home, the boy and the master, they reviewed every move in each and every match. Then the boy, he summoned up the courage to ask what he really had on his mind. Master, how could I have possibly won that tournament with only one move? The master turned to the boy and answered, you won for two reasons. First, you have been able to master the most difficult throw in all of judo. And secondly, the only known defense for that move that you have mastered is for your opponent to grab your left arm. The boy's biggest weakness had become his biggest strength. Oftentimes, we think that the thorns of life are going to destroy our lives and annihilate our purpose and mission. We'll find that our weakness, it can become our greatest strength with the help of God. Now I close with a piece of prose, a creed for those of us who have suffered by the thorns of life. And it says, I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I ask for health that I might do great things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I ask for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I ask for power that I might have praise for men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. I am among all men most richly blessed. The final public words of Jimmy Valvano, basketball coach, Jimmy V. Cancer Foundation, who died of cancer. He shared these encouraging words. The thorns of life may touch my body, but it can't touch my mind. It can't touch my soul. In all that you do, never give up. Don't ever, ever give up. We all can be victorious and turn into roses, the thorns of life. So may God bless you. May God keep you. Is our prayer. Good night, everyone. God bless.